We turn to God's word in the fifth chapter of Mark at the 21st verse. Listen again for God's word. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." The word of the Lord. 12 years, 144 months, 4,383 straight days living with and suffering from a flow of blood. In truth, she suffered from more than just the flow of blood. She has suffered as an outcast from society. Her medical condition marked her as unclean. She might as well have had a do not touch sign hanging around her neck for all to see. As the Gospel of Mark describes her, she has also suffered at the hands of physicians. I bet she has seen every doctor from the best to the quacks trying to find healing. Any wild theory, any option that might cure her. She has also spent all her money dealing with her problem. And for all that she has done to try and treat her illness, she has just gone from bad to worse. She is a desperate woman. We see her desperation as she fights her way through the crowds. There are no guarantees, but she has decided that her last desperate hope is found in this man, Jesus. People surround him. The crowds are pressing in, leaving little room for her to reach him. Perhaps she's too ashamed to admit publicly what has happened, so she's literally sneaking up on him. Perhaps she's tried to arrange a meeting with Jesus and his disciples, trying to keep his schedule and making sure only the important people get to see him, have rebuffed her efforts. Perhaps she has just not felt good enough to make the trip to go to Jesus. But today, maybe today will be different. "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." The hope and dream of a desperate woman who is pushing her way to get near Jesus. She's not trying to strike up a conversation with him. She is not demanding his attention. She just wants his touch. Just a touch of the hem of Jesus' garment. Does she really think that can make a difference? She's desperate enough to be almost delusional about her hopes. How could touching the man's clothing make a difference in her life? But desperate people can convince themselves of almost anything. Have you ever felt that sense of desperation? Maybe a health issue that seems beyond your control and overwhelming. Maybe your life seemingly falling apart. Maybe looking around and thinking, I have no control over anything. You desperately want to make changes. She is not the first or the last desperate person to turn to God. We hear the words of the psalmist in Psalm 30. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help. Nowhere else to go. The psalmist desperately turns to God, a pattern repeated again and again by God's people. Or in this passage we read from the Gospel of Mark, we meet another desperate person, Jairus. The Gospel of Mark uses this sandwich technique, biblical scholars would call it, of telling stories inside of stories. Mark begins with one story, breaks in with another, and then completes the first. There are other examples in Mark where this is done. Each aspect of the individual stories help interpret the other story. Here is Jairus. He believes his daughter has died at his house, stricken with grief, desperate to try anything, nowhere else to go. He seeks out Jesus. He's a well-known leader from the synagogue. Jairus, who has a name in this story, unlike the bleeding woman, but he shares something in common with her. A leader in the community linked with this unnamed woman, an outcast from society, linked by their desperation, both turning to Jesus. Jesus meets their desperation with his healing powers. The Gospel of Mark does not make much of this, but Jesus is really stepping outside the societal norms in these stories as he violates the purity codes. First, the woman with the hemorrhaging touched Jesus, so he should be considered unclean. Second, he goes with Jairus, if we read later in the story, and goes in to where this young woman is dead. At least they thought she was dead, and he touches her. That would render him unclean as well. Jesus clearly tells us by his actions that societal norms do not matter. Desperate people in need of him do. It's almost as if Jesus can't help himself. He's wired to connect to the desperate people, as if those who have do not touch signs hanging from their necks, as if they're the ones he's drawn to. He comes for those people who need him. We can dress up and come to church. We can try to look good for God. We can act as if everything is great, even if it's not. We can dress Jesus up however we want as we turn to the world. But ultimately, those who recognize their need for Christ, those who out of desperation cry out to God, we will find him. That's why Jesus came, for the desperate people who need him. The disciples didn't seem to get it. Perhaps after Jesus dies on the cross, they will finally understand the faith of the desperate. Maybe when they're cowering behind locked doors out of fear, the disciples needing to touch Jesus' wounds, maybe then they will get it. Maybe they will look back on this moment and go, aha, now we understand this woman who was bleeding, how much she needed Jesus, why she fought to get near him. But this day they do not get it. They don't understand what is taking place. Jesus asked them, who touched me? Are you kidding, Jesus? Who touched you? Look at all the people around here. How can we know who touched you? How do you even know you were touched? But he knows. He knows the touch of the desperate. he can find the woman. And as he looks for her, she comes forward trembling on her knees. She tells him of her desperate need for him in her life. Your faith has made you well. The touch, grace abounds. It's hard to comprehend that just a touch changes the woman's life. Can a little touch really make a difference? We live in a world with touch screens. My kids swear that touch screens can change your life. With the touch of your device, you can have a camera, movie, music, FaceTime, videos, messaging, Wi-Fi, games, pages to work on documents, numbers to work with spreadsheets, Keynote graphics, internet, mail. Really simple. Just a touch of the screen. Really powerful. Just a touch of the screen. A touch screen can do just about anything, but it cannot change your life. That takes the power of Jesus' touch. That takes Christ, the one to whom we turn in our desperation. Christ, the one whom we take to the world so others desperately in need can know the power of his touch. Just a touch. Amen.